Okay, that's better. I have 30 minutes and I will try to use it economically to finish the burden on my heart. Actually, there is a next Roman numeral in this outline that we have prepared, and that Roman numeral is entirely based on another, I would say, little known or much less known chapter in one of the books of Watchman Nee. That book is called The Character of the Lord's Worker. The Character of the Lord's Worker. I remember correctly, this should be chapter one. Chapter one. And so, along with chapter eight in the Vital Groups, I also like to recommend this sister chapter, if you will, by Watchman Nee in that book, The Character of the Lord's Worker. And those are messages given by our brother back in 1948 in another training in a place, a locality called Kuling, Kuling, in Watchman Nee's home province. He conducted that with about 70 full-timers or co-workers present. And in those chapters, obviously, he covers the necessary character or character traits of a servant of God, a co-worker. But the first chapter, the first speaking, is called A Lover of Men. A Lover of Men. I think I read this first in Chinese when I was 17 years old. And I have to check, but I think in the Chinese, the title is different, not a lover of men, but being interested in men, being interested in people. I find that to be more practical, more relatable. So I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to commend that chapter to you to read as well, along with the other one by Brother Lee. The gist of Brother Nee speaking was that we cannot work the work of God if we do not love men. And he took pains to make the point to stress that he was not talking just about the love of brothers, you know, brothers in the Lord, brothers in Christ, but indeed a love for all mankind, all men, all kinds, all classes, all colors, all backgrounds, all just men. He said something like this, you know, these are more kind of these very impressive utterances that he had. A serious problem with men who are engaged in God's work, that's us, is their total lack of love and respect for man, and their total failure to realize the value of man in God's sight. Now, please, please reflect on statements like this. Now, we're not even talking about brothers in the same family. God's family. We're talking about just man, the fallen man. God created man. Do we have the love and the respect for every man when we look at them? Do we realize their value, his or her value in God's sight? And he would just say repeatedly, Brother Nee, that just because this human being is made by God, created by God, no less, and made in his image, like God, clearly for God's purpose. That gives every man, his or her inherent value before God's eyes. No matter, he said, even robbers, even bad people, all kinds of people. Do we assign to men their original value, their inherent value in God's sight? So if God loves the world there doesn't mean this globe, it means the people. God loves the people in the world and gave his only begotten son, right? If God would have that places that kind of value on every single human being, what about us? And so we cannot do a work among men if we don't have God's love and respect for the man that he created. My, this word, when I first read, I just say, Lord, what is this? I don't look at people in that way at all. I look at people from my own lens. Oh, he's weird, you know? Or he's strange, or he is so different from me, or this one is not worthwhile, not worth my time. This one is too bad to be saved, or you know what I mean, dear brothers and sisters? At least I have that naturally. He said also, when we really come to understand the word of God, we will realize that the term children of God is not so weighty. Listen to this. Not so weighty as the term man or human. And we also realize that God's plan, selection, and predestination have a glorified man as their objective. That means God's heart is on man. He made man after his own counsel. He needs man to fill. He wants to come into man. He wants to become life and everything to man. He wants to be joined to man and one with man, and one day glorify this man to be the same as he is. Now that's a lot of desire, a lot of intention for what we think it's just a mere man, a mere mortal. Someone I just walk by. You know, the Lord, you know, I think I gave that message in this recent training about the woman with 12 years of hemorrhage, right? The Lord was not looking for this lady, or it's just this lady touched the hem of his garment. And automatically, instantly, you know, virtue or power flow out of him. He said, I sense it, I feel it. That's just one woman. I mean, she's as good as dead. 12 years with no relief, no resolution to her disease. But virtue flowed out to this one just by a touch at the hem of his garment. And he turned around and said, "Who's that? Who touched me?" I mean, brothers and sisters, this is God. This is the Lord. Don't care about their condition and situation. He just cared for the one, this one for himself. Man is precious in God's eyes because he created man in his likeness. We must learn to see man as God's creation with God's image. Although man has fallen, his future remains bright. Do you think that way? I don't. I think, well, this world is going kaput. I mean, going down the tank. You know, World War III is going to start. We're all, you know, everything's going to be destroyed. I mean, do we think about this man has hope? This man can have a bright future. And no wonder we don't preach the gospel. We don't see the side of God's image in man. That we're looking at a creature that is like God. No matter how fallen he or she may be. Even the Lord Jesus became a man when he came to the earth, a man like other men, gradually growing from infancy to full maturity. God's intention is to set up a standard man, that's of course is the Lord, a representative man in whom all the plans of God are realized. So God became a man himself. By the way, not a beautiful or handsome man, but a man of sorrows. A man with no comeliness. A man like the root out of dry ground. The Lord, God became such a man to become the representative, the model of all men who fulfills God's plan. I really think today if Jesus is walking here, we won't notice him. I really think so. The same probably with Peter or Paul. You know, Paul's word, the name Paul's little. Very likely he's just kind of a short, tiny guy. After the Lord Jesus' ascension, the church was brought into being, which is the one new man. That's what God wants. The one new man is comprised, composed of many men. The whole plan of redemption involves the uplifting and glorification of man. Yes, man is fallen to the uttermost, to the pit. But God's plan in his redemption is to uplift him and glorify him. I mean, think about that for a moment. Not what you think, but what God thinks. We must have a love for all men, a genuine affection for men before we can serve God. You say, I want to serve the Lord. Well, here's a key prerequisite. And that is we have to have interest, affection even, for men so that we can serve God. Actually, we serve God by serving men. All those who find men to be wearisome, troublesome, contemptible, are unqualified to be God's servants. We may know the Bible. We may know a lot of spiritual things. We may even have a measure of growth in life. But we disqualified ourselves when we find men inconvenient, troublesome, bothering. Sorry, I have to admit and confess there are times I was like that, even with saints, a bother. I have no time, I have more important business. All servants of the Lord should have a heart so broad that they can include and embrace all men. Embrace. In Isaiah, it talks about the Lord as the coming King Shepherd, that he is going to embrace the lambs on his breast, on his bosom. And the Lord as that seeking shepherd, leaving the 99 to go after the one in Luke 15. It says, when he found that sheep, he put it on his shoulder and brought him home. Clearly, he didn't think of anyone as too troublesome and too unclean or dirty. The shoulder signifies his strength. The bosom signifies his love. All of the Lord's strength and love are poured out for the lost sheep. One lost sheep. We need to actually embrace, not just to say, you know, to say, I love some this or that, but to embrace them with tenderness, with gentleness, with love. An interest in man is a basic requirement in the life of every worker. We must have an interest in contacting people, in communicating with them. Basic requirement. Basic. Nothing is more basic than this. You have no interest in man, what are we doing? And here it talks about we must have an interest in contacting people. You know what? A big problem is our disposition. Our disposition. We're too lofty. We're too private. We're too unapproachable. We're too cold. We're too tough. We're too rough. We're too unkind. We're too threatening, too scary. Dear brothers and sisters, a lot is because of our disposition. And that disposition, in brotherly's words, need to be overthrown if we are going to care for people. We need transformation. Transformation is not just some high spiritual term. Transformation includes a change of our natural disposition. To become one that is warm, who is friendly, who is accessible, who's not condescending, who cares. And even in communicating with them, I find a lot of us don't know how to communicate. So we don't know how to care. We communicate in a wrong way, in too legal of a way. Oh, the Lord Jesus, right? Every one of those nine cases in John, how he communicated with each one of them so differently, so appropriately. With Nicodemus is one way, with the Samaritan woman another way, with the blind man yet another way, with the lame one another way. So affectionate, so intimate, so concerning. So we need to learn or relearn how to communicate with others. Don't go and tell us, saying, hey, the Lord sent me to shepherd you. Goodness, you're going to scare him to death. How do we relate to people? God came down from the place in heaven to the place on earth. He even gave up his godness, if you will, and become lowly. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Come to me, and I will give you rest. If he's so powerful, so haughty, so high and powerful, and he say, come, I don't think any one of us would dare to come. Yet he is walking around in lowliness, in meekness, in humility, in gentleness. Come, come. We can come to this one. Let's learn of him. Years of instruction have accustomed us to address all men as our fellow men. This is not a matter of words, but a matter of feeling. What is our feeling when we see men? Huh? What is our feeling when we contact men? The feeling. Let's start with the feeling before we say a word. You're with this young one, this saint, this gospel friend. The first thing is not what you say, Lord, what do I tell them, what do I do? The first thing is, Lord, what's the feeling I should have for this one? Otherwise, this person can be your shepherding project, but you're hardly doing this shepherding him or her according to God. We must remember that God is our creator, and we're all fellow creatures, fellow human beings. You know, Brother Ni's feeling is, I am just one of them. I'm no better. I'm in the ranks of my fellow creatures. No sense of superiority or class. I'm just one of them. When we are among our fellow men, we should not give them the flavor that we are above them in any way. The worst thing is to have any feeling that you are higher, whether it's people generally or saints. The way to approach people is to come under them, to be servants to them, to serve them. That's the feeling, that's the attitude we should have. When we come to contact people in this way, people will be open to us. So the Lord has to lay aside his garment. He has to gird himself with a towel. It's in John 13. To wash the feet of his disciples and said, do this to one another. No pride, no arrogance, no haughtiness, the wrong flavor. When we are among our fellow men, we should not give them the flavor that we're above them in any way. In the eyes of God, everyone has a spirit. In this respect, everyone is equal. True. As long as he has a spirit, he's a man made by God for God's purpose. No worker of the Lord can despise any person with a soul and spirit. If we despise any man in attitude or in conduct, we are unworthy to be called the servants of God. If, however, we cultivate a great interest in men, we will find a boundless field of service opening up to us. And under the mercy of God, we will become servants who are of some account to him. There are people who look around and there's nothing, no work to do. The church is okay. Everyone is good. It's like you have no field of work. But if you look at men around you more carefully, the brother, the sister, this saint or that, this young one, or that one has been missing in the meetings, and so many others, people in our community that we cross paths with, that we run into, If we cultivate an interest in them, the field of our labor is boundless. The Lord, as the sower of the seed, came and sowed those seeds indiscriminately in all kinds of soil. Some are problematic, for sure, but nevertheless, the Lord sowed the seed into all kinds of soil. His heart is just to gain men for God. Well, brothers and sisters, I think this is quite good enough for now. I hope between now and the next time we meet, we contemplate these things, we pray, read these things, both the Word of God and these two chapters in the ministry that I recommended, not in a, you know, legal way or in a just in an outward way, but really open to the Lord for the Lord to touch us and to change us. I also said they say this, that there's no need to wait. Don't wait until you are perfect with this love. No. We just start. We just start. To the extent that the Lord has touched you with this person or that person, start praying for them, interceding for them, and looking to the Lord for a way to contact them. And there's a lot to learn in that, in these things. You know, the next chapter after that chapter on the lover of man in Brother Nee's book, the second chapter is learning how to listen. The first thing in contacting people is not talking. It's listening. It's listening. Well, saints, you know, give a funny story to you. I'll end it with this note. That's Brother Benson Phillips, whom I respect very much and learn much from. One time he gave this interesting experience he had about shepherding people. He said he was in a room, hospitality, with this brother. And this brother wanted to talk to him. And he started talking to him. And before long, it was hours of talking to him. It was so late at night, Benson said, he just sat there, but he fell asleep. Okay? He fell asleep. But this man, this brother, kept talking and talking. And who knows for how long. And then eventually, he stopped. And apparently, that silence caused maybe Benson to wake up or something. And this brother said, "Thank you, Brother Benson, for caring for me." Benson was sleeping, you know? He didn't say a word to this brother. He was just listening. Now, I don't mean we just sit there and let people talk and talk. I don't mean there's, if you read that book, you'll find a lot of detailed help in how to listen. There are different kinds of listening to different kinds of words. And it is by listening to people, we know their case. We can discern their need, and then we know how to meet that need. A lot to learn, a lot to learn. But anyway, saints, how about we just stop here? Go and start shepherding. Go and continue your shepherding of someone.